This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
If you go to @KeepBlitzen, the Twitter feed of Carolina Blitz, you get everything in the state of North Carolina. Vashti Hurt, she is CarolinaBlitz.com. How are you? You are everywhere, but I want to talk to you about the Panthers and if the mood has lightened, has changed at all since they finally broke through and won a game for the first time in 9 tries.
I mean, obviously, yes, the mood has changed. But, you know, before I came on, I was thinking, I got to give the Panthers credit. Yeah, they were disappointed after those 2 losses to open the season. But the locker room never seemed down. And, you know, that I guess when you see Matt Rhule has lost the fan base, but he hasn't lost the locker room. And so, you know, as wild as it seems, like they were happy, I think, to stop talking about winning and finally get in the win column. But I mean, the mood seems to be the same. They've never been down despite the losses.
Yeah, it's interesting. There was a question asked of Robbie Anderson. Heck, you probably asked the question because everything I see, I think, is through Carolina Blitz. But somebody asked Robbie Anderson, basically about, you know, does this ease the talk about Matt Rhule leaving? And Robbie went, where would he go?
That definitely was me. And if you know Robbie, like, Robbie is very straightforward. He's going to answer your question. He's not going to give you too much fluff. And yeah, I wanted to know because Robbie had said earlier in the week that he was playing for Matt Rhule. So if you're playing for your coach, obviously, he hears the rumblings about a potential firing. So when I asked that question, he was kind of like dry and coy with the answer, like, where would he go? But he knows,
right.
He sees. Guys in the locker room know what's going on. But, you know, Matt Rhule got the game ball after the win, and it seems like, you know, the guys in the locker room are behind him 100%.
Yeah, they absolutely seem that way. And that's good for Matt. You don't want it because when a team quits on a coach, it's obvious. But I agree that this team has not done that. They have fought. I think there's obviously some personnel issues that they're still working through. And Matt Rhule, again, I think you asked him this question. This is going to sound like a great setup just to pimp your website, Vashti, but it's fine. You asked him about Baker Mayfield yesterday. And having now watched the tape, you know, what's your assessment of how Baker played? He took a political, you know, tack with it, but Baker's not been great at all.
Baker really hasn't been good at all. The Panthers are winning in spite of Baker and not because of Baker. And that's not something that I think the Panthers were expecting coming into the season. On Sunday, I think that was his worst game so far. He was overthrowing his receivers. I think DJ Moore might have had just one catch. There were at least 3 or 4 glaring, like, eye-opening, like, bro, what is he looking at? Because he's nowhere close to his receivers. And the one long touchdown to Laviska Shenault was a screen.
Yeah.
So Laviska did all the hard work in that touchdown. So, you know, Baker Mayfield has to play better for the Panthers if they want a shot at kind of riding the ship for Matt Rhule.
Vashti Hurt, CarolinaBlitz.com is joining us here. You can follow her on Twitter @KeepBlitz. And here's the thing about this particular stretch of games. And we talked about this on the show before they played the Saints, is that these 3 games all at home really serve to do one of 2 things. It either buries them, because they're all losable. Obviously, they won the first. But it also could elevate them and their level of confidence, because they're also all winnable. Teams that are probably above where the Panthers are at this moment. Maybe the Saints aren't. They certainly didn't look like it on this past Sunday, but the Cardinals are a little bit above, certainly at the quarterback position, a little bit above where Carolina is. And San Francisco as a total team, in spite of the quarterback situation that they've got, they're better. But they're also both winnable. As you sit and you look at these two games coming up, what kind of an impact could it have on what the season looks like beyond this?
A huge impact. You know, the Panthers struggled last year at home. And, you know, with that opening loss to the Browns, everybody thought it would be more of the same. But as you mentioned, the next two games are pretty winnable games. The Panthers historically, and I don't have the exact record, but they have owned the Cardinals. And, you know, they haven't played San Fran as much. But as you mentioned, San Fran is struggling to score, kind of like the Panthers are struggling to score. And so these.
Whoops. Was that a face mute? Could have been a face mute. We'll find out. We'll get Vashti Hurt back here in a second. We are efforting. That's why we have a senior.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Okay. Yes, they have to win at home these two winnable games. And, you know, if they lose these two games, then that only heightens the talk about whether Matt Rhule will be here next year or throughout the season. If they win the two games, then that quiets the talk. And now you're talking about the Panthers as a potential playoff team. So it really are two different ends of the spectrum based on how the Panthers perform in these next two games.
This is sort of like, as we're watching, I have Weather Channel coverage on in the studio as I'm watching all of the different paths that Ian could take. This is like the European model, which, all of a sudden, why is this one all the way out to sea? The Panthers as a potential playoff team is that one that's like, why? Why is that one so different from all the other models? It's funny, when I looked at the season beforehand, when I looked at each individual game and I looked at it in groups of games, I think I grouped them in terms of groups of five. I thought if they could get out of the first five games 3-2, which winning these three games at home would make them 3-2. And I looked at it as a ceiling of 8 wins. Now, I'm not associated or like foisting that on anybody else. That was just how I looked at it. So if they get to that, then yeah, they could still be a team that is fringy in the playoff conversation when we get, you know, around Thanksgiving. Because at that point, there'll be like 6 or 7 games left. And if you're in it, you're in it. It is what it is. But confidence does some unique things to teams. How has Ike Ekwonu progressed over the last couple of weeks? And how much will that help Baker Mayfield and associated with that, DJ Moore?
You know, there's been a spotlight on Ike, and, you know, coming in to this year, a weakness of his was always pass protection, and a strength was run blocking. And I think that that's still the same. But as a unit, the offensive line has played decently. Baker Mayfield has had clean pockets, but for whatever reason, he gets happy feet and he's not trusting his protection to go through his reads and make the right throw. But as a rookie, playing at that left tackle position, being thrown in the fire against the type of defensive fronts that he's gone against, I think Ike has had a decent season so far. And you know, you talk to offensive linemen who've been in the league, and they say they really don't hit their stride until probably mid-year two, after year two. And for him to be getting these reps year one, And not doing horribly, I think is good news for the Panthers.
Yeah, I think it was clear that they were playing the long game with Ike, because we didn't see anything in the preseason that led anybody to believe that Ike was ready to be a starting left tackle. But they figured, all right, let's accelerate the learning process, because we can't be great. And I think we all agreed that their offensive line can't be really good unless Ike Ekwonu is the left tackle, Brady Christensen inside the guard, which is probably their best thing going forward. We all knew that there were going to be growing pains, to say the least. Christian McCaffrey is Christian McCaffrey. Why did they scare us midweek last week by saying he had an ankle injury?
You know, Christian said he could go to the bathroom during practice and it's going to show up on the injury report. And Panthers Twitter is going to overreact because of the injuries that he sustained in the past. Christian says he doesn't know. And Matt Rhule says it's some type of league thing. If there's anything, I guess maybe they have to report report to the trainers, or the trainers have to look at, then they have to do, they have to report it on the injury report, and sure. It shows up on the injury report. So even the minute things, they have to report, and then when they report it to us, and we report it to the fans, and then everybody goes crazy. So I actually love it, because Christian McCaffrey, by nature, to us as media, he's a dry guy.
Right.
So that leak mark, if I take a leak, then I'm going to end up on the injury report. Like, that's the best thing that we've gotten from him in probably, like, 3 years.
So I could just see it this week if he's on the injury report. Christian McCaffrey, number one, right? That would be better. We would like. I could be better than number two if they listed that. Christian McCaffrey, J.C. Horn, year two. What do you think?
J.C. Horn is progressing. You know, I think PFF put out there that, you know, he played at different positions. I think 39 snaps, didn't allow a catch, and got an interception. I still think, you know, you look at him and you forget that he only played three games
right,
last year.
Exactly.
But with him and his youth and really his lack of playing time, he has to be less handsy. And he's a physical receiver, but there has to be a fine line. And I think you get that with experience, between being physical and not getting the call. He did better last week. I don't even know if he had any pass interference calls last week, as opposed to the week before against New York. But that's the fine line with him. But I think that he's turning out to be, you know, a respectable top 10 pick.
Look, of all the positions that are impossible to project, and I believe this to be true, cornerback coming out of college and getting into the NFL, I'm not saying I don't know why teams ever draft cornerbacks high, but the miss rate on cornerbacks has to be as high or higher than it is with quarterbacks.
It is up there. That's a good point. And you take a gamble when you draft a cornerback, because you can get value cornerbacks or cornerbacks who end up being good guys in later rounds. But they really like J.C. Horn. They liked his pedigree with his dad.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, it's panning out well for the Panthers and that defense as a whole, who looked elite against the Saints.
I would hate to see the miles that you put on your car. Vash Dihert, CarolinaBlitz.com, at Keep Blitzin' on Twitter. You're the best. Keep rocking.
Thanks, Adam.
Also, saw you at the hockey game last night.
Yeah, I was there.
I thought you weren't going to go to home games.
Well,
because you have you're busy until 6.
Actually, later than that, until about 6:30 or so. Well, here's the thing. There's no Bally Sports for me yesterday to work.
Yes.
So I didn't have to worry about getting to the game or anything on time.
Uh-huh.
And I figured, well, you know what? I actually wanted to see how some like the new line combos and stuff like that we expect to see. I wanted to see it in person. And it was either that or edit Culture State on my on my couch. So I just did it from the arena yesterday.
That's what you were working on.
Yeah,
I just edited
down the video yesterday and just watched hockey. It was great.
Very good.
And then I went into the locker room. I actually chatted with, just off the record, with Paul Stastny for a little bit.
Nice.
Which was great. It was nice to catch up to him.
Good tip-in goal for Paul Stastny.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things to like about this team, and has nothing to do with what the final score was yesterday, because Tampa just threw uniforms on the ice.
Basically.
And Carolina will likely do a very similar thing tomorrow at Florida. Not that they don't have good players. There are prospects and some other good players, but ultimately, it's not going to be a representative NHL lineup. All right, yesterday, John Shire, head coach at Duke, had his first preseason, as practice has begun, actually, preseason media availability. And as you could expect, he's kind of excited.
For me, it's first day of practice is something that I've had marked down on my calendar for some time. And all of a sudden, we're here. So it's now's the second day. So it's an exciting time for our team. We're really getting a feel for each other. And we have a lot of work to do, but it's an exciting group. They work hard. It's been a lot of fun.
Look, first of all, good on John for recognizing that day two immediately follows day one. So already
off to a good start,
making all the correct decisions. Look, they've had a lot of time together as a team, but a lot of it is not really allowed to be coached. There's only certain things you can do with a group as a head coach based on NCAA rules, which seems to me to be kind of silly, right? It's just like practices start a certain time, but you should be allowed to.
Hey, they're off-season workouts.
Who does it hurt?
Yeah.
Who does it hurt if they practice a few times a week? There's no season. Nobody wants to practice for 6 months leading up to a season. But I mean, why would it be terrible to get together? Oh, twice a week, whatever it is. No need to delve into that conversation. But this is what always happened with the other guy. Forget his name. When you're the head coach at Duke, you're not just a college basketball coach. And I'm not saying John Shire is a spokesperson for the sport of college basketball. But John Shire is the Duke coach, and people are going to ask him about issues that deal with that the sport has to deal with, including what happens when the NBA lowers the age limit from 19 to 18.
The biggest thing I've learned since I've taken, since I've become the head coach in the spring is understanding what real and what isn't and not overreacting to things. And like that rule could change tomorrow and that rule could change 2 years from now or could never change. There are other things along the way, whether you talk about NIL, whether you talk about the transfer rule. But we try to just focus on obviously being prepared for either one. Like we feel Duke basketball and the way we've recruited and the way we will continue to, we'll be in a good position, but not try to jump the gun where anticipating something because next thing you know, something else changes and just try to stay the course of what we know is real and what we know for sure is happening. And I know obviously reports get put out there and we're aware of all of them and we do our homework and we make sure we're informed as much as we possibly can be. But I also think it's important not to overreact and jump the gun about how we're recruiting or how we're handling something based on something that may happen at this time or may not happen.
All right. About this issue, it's clear, first of all, one and done, whether it is an 18-year age limit or a 19-year age limit. One and done will not go away, ever. There will always be players, until the rule is written that if you enter college, you must be there for 2 years or 3 years, one and done will never leave, will never be done. It will just be different types of players that play it 1 year. Because as soon as the NBA is interested in drafting you, I mean, I'm not saying you should go, but the odds are that a lot of players will go. 1 year or 2 years, doesn't matter. We have, like, all the players who go after their sophomore year now.
Yeah.
Right? And there are plenty that go. John Morant, right, went after his sophomore year, I believe.
That's right. He did.
So if it's a so that guy would leave after his freshman year. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
So one and done is not going anywhere. I also thought about this as it pertains to Duke and programs that have really, especially recently, lived with 1 year players. And that's really what Duke has become. So much turnover in the roster every single year. And I'm not sure it will change that much for Duke because there is a value, financial value, in spending a year at Duke. There's no question about that. How much money, and again, it's always bad to use Zion Williamson as an example because he is an outlier. But how much money did Zion Williamson make by spending a year at Duke versus going directly from Spartanburg, where the high school he went to the NBA?
Made a lot.
Huh. Well, it's not. It's measurable. But yes, you are correct, Dennis. It is a lot. There is value to playing at Duke or at North Carolina or at Kentucky or at Kansas and playing at a place that is visible. because your high school probably wasn't. So that is the reason, even if you're good enough to go directly to the NBA, that is the reason why maybe you still go to Duke, or you still go to a Carolina, or a Kansas, or a Kentucky, or a Michigan State, or any of these schools that has a national profile. So maybe it won't impact this much at all, and the only kids who will leave are the kids who didn't want to go to college at all, or who don't have the academic credentials to go to college, which is fine. I'm not even sure I did. I'm not criticizing that. College isn't for everybody.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Did you know that Gerber Life Guaranteed Life Insurance provides valuable whole life insurance protection to help cover your final expenses? It's true, and it can help with expenses such as medical bills, burial costs, and unpaid debts. It helps protect your family from the financial burden of your final expenses. If you're between 50 and 80 years old or 50 to 75 in New York, your coverage is guaranteed with this policy regardless of your health history. There are no medical exams to complete or lengthy health questionnaires to fill out. Simply text INSURE to 30555, and premiums don't increase over time. The amount you pay when coverage begins is the same amount you'll pay throughout the duration of your policy. Just answer four easy questions to get your free personalized quote instantly by texting INSURE to 30555. See website for terms and restrictions.